We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE. On your mark, get set. You'd better be ready because Christmas is just around the corner. We are now less than 2 weeks away. If you are going to mail something to someone in a different part of the country, you need to get on that. You need to get on it quick. If you haven't gone out and done your shopping, you know, I encourage you to get after that as quickly as you can as well. And don't blink because things slip up on you. My wedding anniversary falls on the first day of a month. And all the previous month, I say, my anniversary's next month, my anniversary's next month. And then you wake up one morning and bam, there it is. So I'm just here to try and provide a public service to help you to remember that Christmas, even though this year has seemed like it has gone on for a very long time, is just a few days away. And if you were still thinking you had months and months to go, in your planning process, knowing full well that it's December the 13th, 2021, you need to get after it. Don't procrastinate anymore. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until the crowds are all nice and cranky before you go out there. Make some time, go out there, and enjoy the season. So right now, here on the Refresh Radio program, we are talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so that was the verse that God quickened to my spirit some time ago. And so we started in the Beatitudes and started working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We're now focusing on that in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, everything else that you need in life is going to be provided to you. So that food, clothing, shelter, the things that everybody worries about, as a Christian, you don't have to worry about that. You focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And because my brain does not work the way that most people's brains do, I said, I wonder what the Bible has to say about all of the things that we are supposed to seek. And part of that, we've talked about we're supposed to seek justice. Now we're looking at we are supposed to seek truth. And so that's where we are in our study. It is just a very, very, when you start talking about eternal truth, spiritual truth, God's truth, it is a deep, deep well. And today we're going to start a little bit of a brief look. We'll be here today. We'll probably be here tomorrow. I'm not sure it'll go much past that. But we're going to talk about what does leadership and truth, what does that look like? What does it have in common? What does the Bible have to say about it? And I will tell you, if you want a culture of truth, you must be a leader who leads in truth. You must be a leader who lives in truth. You establish the culture of wherever your leadership is in effect. Okay, it is the leader that impacts the culture, not the other way around. The culture is not supposed to impact the church. We're supposed to be the head. We're supposed to be the beacon of truth. We're supposed to be the anchor that says everybody knows where truth is. It's not supposed to be true one day and then not true another in the church. It's supposed to be absolute truth. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. And we are going to look at the life of Moses. Moses is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. His father-in-law has shown up on the journey. And so in verse number 13, it says this. Exodus chapter 18, verse number 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter that they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. So Moses' father-in-law shows up and watches Moses as he is sitting there making decisions for all of the people. Some estimates have the size of Israel at that time coming out of Egypt at 2.5 million people or more. So millions of people and one arbiter for all of them. And so the people who had challenges, they just came and they stood in line and they waited in line. And they waited for Moses, and Moses would hear the case, and Moses would see the evidence, and Moses would pray, and Moses would hear from God, and Moses would pronounce the judgment, and then he would move on to the next case. And so his father-in-law shows up and begins to inquire, and he says, what's going on with all of these people standing before you?" And he explained it to him, and Moses' father-in-law said this to him, "The thing that you do is not good." Okay? It is not good. It's not because the people did not need someone to make decisions. It was not because there weren't cases that needed to be decided or anything like that. Instead, it was the fact that Moses was taking on all of this responsibility, and he hadn't delegated it. He hadn't assigned it. He hadn't given anybody a portfolio. Joshua had some responsibilities. Aaron had some responsibilities. The priests had responsibilities. But when it came to governing, there was Moses, and there were the heads of the 12 tribes. That was it. And so I want to point out to you some of the leadership aspects that we can we can learn in this situation. The first warning sign that Moses' father-in-law gives to him is this. He said, "You will surely wear yourselves out, both Moses and the people." Now, I will tell you, I have a philosophy of pastoring, and that is this. I don't want to kill the saints at Merit Assembly of God from exhaustion. And, you know, very early on when there were six people in the church and four other people, you know, the four people from my family, so there were 10, the second week there was 9, the third week there was 8. There's a lot that needs to be done. If you don't think that there's a lot going on at church, let me tell you about my learning curve. I had been in the ministry for 9-10 years when I became the pastor. And when I became the pastor, suddenly I realized that there was a lot of things that I had not been taught about. And so my wife had worked in church offices, multiple church offices, but she had never kept the books. She had never had to make sure. And back in those days, we didn't even have a computer. A friend of ours that we had worshiped with, he had an old used computer that had the big old floppy disks. And he said, "Here, this will help." This was after 2 or 3 years. But my wife was keeping the books, and we don't have miscellaneous funds or any of that sort of stuff. We account for every penny. And when she would do the books, it was like the old ball episode with her and Mr. Mooney, that there was a penny off. When we found the addition errors and everything balanced, I mean, we'd throw up our hands and we would have a great celebration, because there wasn't a very large labor pool. And I will tell you, no matter how large your church is, that there are still a large number of people who aren't doing much as far as the workload that is carried. And there's a smaller group of people, and they are carrying their burden and someone else's burden, and in too many cases, someone else's burden as well. Sometimes they're carrying wearing the hats that 3 or 4 people should be carrying. And you don't want your pastor being worn out. Your pastor doesn't want you being worn out. And so Moses' father-in-law said, "What you're doing is not good. You've got a journey ahead of you. You've got a promised land to go to. You've got enemies that you're going to need to drive out, and you don't need to be exhausted by the time you get there." So let me just throw a little pastoral counsel out here during the Christmas season. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And I can say that as a pastor. I can also say it with some personal experience, because when I worked in retail, I worked for one particular department store 1 year, and they told us as managers, said, "Thanksgiving will be your last day off until after Christmas." And so on Thanksgiving Day, I was already, you know, I was having a tough time being thankful, because I was having to prepare myself for what was coming. Now, that was back before stores were open on Thanksgiving Day and all that sort of stuff. Don't wear yourself out. Make sure that you take time to rest and enjoy the reason for the season, and enjoy the season that God has. He says, "This thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." A few months ago, I was praying about a situation, and I just had a little bit of a comparative mindset analysis that went on. And that was, when you're a child and you're growing up, the mindset is, I want to do this myself. So the parent will go to the child, do you want some help? No, I can do this myself. And they may not be able to do it themselves, but they want to try and do it themselves. But the older we get, the more experience we have, all of a sudden there's something that shifts or should shift inside of us that says, I need help. And I want to recognize that in all of the gifts that God does bestow upon the children of God, one of the greatest gifts that he gives to you and to me is the gift of one another. We need one another. We need one another. I was having a conversation with someone at church here not too long ago, and they're not from America or originally, and they were describing where they came from, and they said, we have a lot of churches where I come from, and they value and treasure one another. We need to recognize what a blessing we can be to one another, that neither one of us have to wear ourselves out. I don't have to overcompensate for you if, you know, you do what God's called you to do and I do what God's called me to do, then it's going to be a wonderful thing. Some of the biggest scoring plays in a football game happen when one person does too much. They overextend themselves and they end up exposing what their responsibility was because they were trying to cover for someone else. So Moses' father-in-law says, you're not able to perform it by yourself. The next piece of advice that he gives him is stand before God for the people. Stand before God for the people. Leadership is not supposed to be void of God's influence. Leadership is supposed to be dependent upon hearing what God has to say. Not just pastors, but business people. And I'll give you an example here. And well, there's a couple of examples. I read this story several years ago that there was a pilot and he was scheduled to take off, and he happened to be a Pentecostal Christian. And as he was waiting, he realized that everybody was on board. The plane was full. All of the passengers were on. And the Holy Spirit began to quicken him and said, see if you can take off early. And so he petitioned, and they allowed him to take off. And just after he got the plane off of the ground, the runway crumbled, and if he had hesitated, all of those people would have catastrophically they would have died. And so it was, I don't know about you, but when I got off that plane, if I had known what had just happened, I would have been very thankful for a pilot that had learned to hear what God has to say. Several years ago, they were selling these things called real estate. Derivatives. I'm not sure if that's the term or not. I just had it, and then I got sidetracked. They were bundling all of these mortgages, all these subprime mortgages, and they were selling them in bundles. And I heard an interview, because a lot of banks lost a lot of money because of the shady practices that were going on. But there was one banker that I heard, and he said, he was the CEO of a bank. He said, I'm supposed to be one of the smartest financial minds in the country, was in America. And he said, I don't understand how these work. So here's my decision. If I'm one of the smartest people and I don't understand it, there's a really good chance that nobody else understands it in our organization as well. So let's stay clear of them. And so they missed out on a lot of the profits going up, but they also missed out on the devastating impact when that market and that fantasy collapsed. Stand as a leader to hear God. And don't do it in a corner. Let people know. I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to God. You know how I got to Florida? A person offered me a job and I said, well, I'm going to need to pray about it. And I wasn't saying that to make a show. I was saying that because I'm a Christian and God orders my steps and directs my path. And that person said, well, how long do you need to pray about it? I said, 24 hours will be enough. He said, oh, okay, we can give you 24 hours. And you know what? I believe that they were looking for somebody who would manage on their behalf in a godly manner. And so I prayed for my company. I prayed that the sales would be good. I prayed that we would have customers and we would have favor. And I encourage you to do that as a leader. He says, you are also supposed to teach them the statutes and the laws. So I was watching a little bit of the tail end of a football game here a few weeks ago. It involved a team that wasn't too far away. I've got friends that root for that team. And so I was watching and I was pulling for that team because I don't like the other team. And they were describing this coach who's a relatively new coach to that particular team. Either this was his first year or his second year. And he made this statement. He said, when the season began, I was yelling at my players to stop the opponent. And he said, and we started having success, and then we hit the skids for a little while. And then I started telling our coaches this. I said, I want you to teach our players how to stop the opponent. Teach the players how to stop the opponent. When you realize that the Word of God is a blessing and it's not a prison sentence, what I mean by that is it's not trying to keep you from having, you know, fun and all of this sort of stuff that the devil tries to put in people's minds. When you realize that it's an instruction manual that is designed to position you to live your life well, healthy, and holy, all of a sudden it takes on a different approach. And so as a pastor, I'm to try and teach people how to live the way that God wants them to. And one of the ways that we do that is by seeking the truth of God. The truth of God is never subject to the truth of any other man. It's not true. It's not subject to any. Listen, the Word of God says the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. There may be people who don't like the truth of God's Word. They may not like the principle of truth that is written in God's Word. But it will never overturn God's Word. So make sure that you teach people. If you've got employees, teach them how you want them to do their job. Teach them how you want them to do their job. Take the time. Don't get frustrated with them if you have not taught them how you want them to do their job. Now, I'm blessed. I've got a worship leader and an office manager. Both of them are part-time. We don't get to interact and spend a whole lot of office time together, but both of them know how I want them to do their job. And they know that if they are not able to get it done when the regular schedule is, that I'm okay with them getting it done as long as everything gets done. So make sure that you teach them. By the way, one more thing here. Show appreciation to them and let them know how valuable they are, because without them, you are not nearly as effective as you are with them. Show them in the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. So this here on a radio, it might be a little bit of a challenge, but not only does God have a lifestyle that he has planned for you, but he has an assignment for you. Moses is receiving instruction from his father-in-law. This is not a thus saith the Lord moment. This is a wisdom principle that, from what leadership people have told me, is still taught in some of the greatest business programs in the country, is how to empower your people. And you can never short-circuit this. You can never break the chain, because you can go from one of the greatest companies in the world to extinct in a very short period of time if you do. There was a company that I know of that used to be the leadership pipeline for most of the retailers in America. They would go and they would raid the students from their leadership academy, and the company doesn't exist anymore. Something happened. Something bad happened. Show them the work that they must do. You have been uniquely gifted by God, to be able to do a function in the body of Christ. It might be the gift of an evangelist. It might be the gift of a teacher. It might be singing. It might be administration. It might be cleaning. It might be landscaping. It might be helping out in the office. I don't know what it might be, but I do know that you have a gift, a supernatural gift from God that he wants you to utilize for his glory and for his praise. Make yourself available and then say, okay, this is what I am able to do. How do you want me to do this? Because believe it or not, there are some companies that I know that they will not hire somebody from a competitor who has been trained to do it in a way that was opposite of what that company wants them to do. So learn how you can serve for the glory of God. Okay, so it might take us 3 days to get through all this. We didn't even get to the principle of truth yet, but I want you to position yourself this year that you are going to be in pursuit of God's truth, and you're going to be serving in a way that it's not going to exhaust you. Maybe that's the word for today. Let's enjoy the King of the season. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Justice.